deepwater drillers succumbed to a false sense of security, as the National Commission put it. One warning sign was the well-documented unreliability of blowout preventers. These were contraptions meant to function as last-ditch fail-safe devices to smother uncontrolled wells before they could blow. A Norwegian firm, Deite Norskoi Veritas, published a paper that examined 15,000 offshore wells operating between 1980 and 2006. It found 11 cases where teams drilling deep water wells, fearing a blowout, had switched on their preventer devices. In only 6 cases did the wells come under control, an apparent failure rate of almost 50%. The Department of the Interior commissioned studies by West Engineering Services in 2002 and 2004 that looked in detail at the workings of certain types of blowout preventers, including that deployed on the Deepwater Horizon, and found that in many cases the preventers did not work as advertised. The findings illustrated, the authors of one of the Interior Commission studies wrote, the lack of preparedness in the industry to manage the last line of defense against a blowout. Complacency ran to the top of the American political system. While seeking the White House, Barack Obama excoriated John McCain for proposing to expand offshore drilling because this would have long-term consequences for our coastlines, but no short-term benefits, since it would take at least 10 years to get any oil. When I'm president, I intend to keep in place the moratorium. In office, he did not. An Interior Department review overlooked the evidence of weak fail-safe systems and implausible cleanup preparations, and, noting the lack of serious accidents to date, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar recommended new leasing to the White House in early 2010. In a political trade-off made to advance climate change legislation pending in Congress, legislation that would never pass, Obama announced plans to consider drilling in previously closed areas of the South and Mid-Atlantic Ocean and the eastern side of the Gulf of Mexico. If it were approved, this would amount to the largest geographical expansion of domestic offshore leasing in a generation. I don't agree with the notion that we shouldn't do anything, the president explained. It turns out, by the way, that oil rigs today generally don't cause spills. They are technologically very advanced. In the sections of the Gulf open to drilling, Exxon was a laggard. Its annual reports and public affairs campaigns boasted about the cutting-edge technologies that made deepwater drilling so promising, but the truth was that ExxonMobil had for long missed many of the big opportunities in the Gulf. Humble Oil's early exploratory offshore wells, drilled off of Texas during the 1970s, were expensive busts. By 2010, Chevron had drilled many more deepwater wells worldwide, proportionate to its size, than ExxonMobil. At the time of the Deepwater Horizon accident, ExxonMobil had only a single drilling project underway in the region. The corporation's major deepwater projects lay offshore in Equatorial Guinea, Angola, and Nigeria. This imbalance was not by design. ExxonMobil had simply missed out on the Gulf's early deepwater boom. As a condition for leasing tracts in the Gulf of Mexico, the Minerals Management Service required companies to prepare and file spill response plans that addressed a long list of questions laid out by the regulators. These plans included how boats would be deployed, how chemical dispersants might be managed, how injured wildlife would be cared for, and above all, how oil would be cleaned up. In its filings to the Department of the Interior, ExxonMobil reported that it had developed experience and systems that would allow it to respond forcefully to even a major blowout in the Gulf of Mexico, one that might threaten the economies of built-up coastal areas from Tampa to Galveston. ExxonMobil's primary focus remains the prevention of incidents which might cause pollution, the corporation's 2009 filing to the regulators declared. But in recognition that complete elimination of risk is impossible, the oil spill response plan describes the resources and procedures that would be used to mitigate potential impact. To write and file spill response plans, ExxonMobil turned to the response group. So did BP, Shell, Chevron, Conoco, and other Gulf drillers. The response group, a business dedicated to providing effective emergency preparedness and response solutions, was a small planning and regulatory paperwork consultancy located in a tree-shaded two-building office park in Cypress, Texas, to the northwest of Houston. The firm specialized in helping oil, chemical, and other industrial firms develop, write, and file the disaster response plans required by state and federal regulators. The result was that all of the major American companies operating in the Gulf of Mexico filed essentially the same 500-page boilerplate plan describing their emergency preparedness, even though each of the companies drilled as lead operator in different conditions and had distinct corporate capabilities. Each plan filed with the MMS promised blithely that the driller could handle a spill even larger than the one that began on April 20, 2010, with the blowout of the Deepwater Horizon. Each plan declared that the driller would rely on response equipment that, as listed, was transparently inadequate to fulfill plan's claims. After the Exxon Valdez wreck, Lee Raymond reflected, "The lesson learned here was to try and make sure that there were procedures both in the company and the respective governments that they knew and we knew that if an incident were to happen, exactly what to do and how to do it." The lesson had not been learned. Living up to Raymond's exhortation would have involved more extensive investments in boats, planes, and pre-deployed equipment than either the oil companies or the government was prepared to make. The plans on file with Interior did contain credible organizational charts, analysis of oil spill response procedures, and emergency planning manuals. Few of these were linked to real-world capabilities, however. The plans also contained howlers, ExxonMobil's plan, and several others evidently prepared from the same response group text, referred to preparations that had been taken to protect walruses, although walruses have not swum in the Gulf of Mexico for about 3 million years. The same plans listed as a marine wildlife expert, a Florida Atlantic University professor, Peter Lutz, who had been dead for several years. Tillerson later acknowledged that this was an embarrassment, but he added by way of justification, "The fact that Dr. Lutz died in 2005 does not mean his work and the importance of his work died with him." The Department of the Interior accepted the filings as adequate.